صحيح. والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جماعة المسلمين. Today is the 26th day of the month of Ramadan, and today is going to mark the terminal point of tafsir for this year from this masjid, inshallah. As usual, we're going to take some questions that are handy.
وعليكم
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. And all of us, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala.
And you meet him in prayer. Is it proper to pray behind him?
He is asking, what is the rule concerning praying behind a bid'atic person? Bid'atic. Somebody in making innovations into the deen, who fabricate and innovate. Okay, innovation is introducing something totally alien to the deen with the intention of acquiring endless acceptance, which is impossible. That is bid'ah, and bid'ah is haram to do it because it's one of the ways Satan uses in crushing a believer down. So you do everything possible not to succumb to the satanic temptation to commit bid'ah and bid'atic practices. Now, bid'ah can be classified into two main groups. There is major bid'ah, which is dangerous, that can take somebody out of Islam. Like the bid'ah of saying Allah is in somebody's pocket. There are some people saying it, and they claim to be Muslim. And Allah fi jaybi, who say even this cup is God. And they claim to be Muslims. You have people like Hallaj, people like Ibn Sirin, people like Ibn. I mean, this is a negative class of bid'atic practice. Somebody behaving in this manner, how can you pray behind him? On the other hand, there is a bid'ah not up to this magnitude. Like the bid'ah of somebody introducing something in prayer. After the prayer has been finished, he says, Salati tenta on the Prophet. This is bid'ah though of less magnitude, because he cannot tell you there is a clear cut point in the Sunnatic narrative or Quran where the Prophet did it. Okay? So, if somebody is doing bid'ah, you pray behind him. Number one, do you know he is bid'atic man? Yeah. Have you preached to him? Have you gotten time to tell him nice words, perchance he repents and comes the way? I mean, at times you didn't do that. You just jump to the condemnation. If he is to be preached at, is going to help him, that is more profitable and more reward preaching. But all in all, you don't pray behind a bid'atic man if there are people maintaining sunnah. You better join them so that you make their own group large and enlarge them, than just going to look behind a bid'atic person. Unless somebody has committed a greater sin. The ulama are saying, مع كل بر صليها أو فاجر ما لم يكن في دينه مشالي. You pray behind any person, good or bad, except if he has kitna in his aqidah, like claiming that Allah is in on pocket, that he can give you Jannah right away and the life. May Allah make it easy for all of us to understand. Next Amen. Question. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To all of us, inshallah.
What is the view of Qibla in the case of a man having handshake?
We don't see what is the view of Islam. We see what does Islam say? What is the ruling? Okay. Somebody shaking the hand of a woman, the opposite sex, this is not accepted in Islam. And shaking the hand of a lady, except she's your mother, she's your wife, your daughter, your sister. A woman you can marry, how do you shake her hand? It invites fitna. So it's not allowed. Next question.
Wa alaykum
as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you are asking me whether it is allowed for a Muslim sister to give a public lecture on Islam, what's wrong? Why not? She is a Muslim. And وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Believing men and believing women are of one another. So if a lady is believed to be accomplished, she is educated, she is equipped enough to lecture, what is wrong? She only has to appear as a complete Muslim sister. Are we this clear? Yeah. The condition, she has to be knowledgeable, and she has to appear in a way that Islam says, okay, no intermingling. Though some are saying, if there are men who can do it, she is to be at her rest. But in a situation where she finds herself, where people predominantly are ignorant, she is the only one to do it, or it becomes even wajib. But if she does it, though there are some people, then it becomes legal, lawful. Next ayah. We're going to continue from where we stopped yesterday. Now.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم.
نعم.
وإن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاتقون.
This is ayah number what? Are you with me? Ayah number what? 51. In chapter number what? 23. Chapter Al-Mu'minun. يا أيها الرسل يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم. أوي الرسل الرسل is the plural of الرسول. الرسول one رسل plural. Okay. أوي messengers of Allah. This is a call. يا أيها الرسل لك يا الذين آمنوا أيها الناس كلوا من الطيبات eat out of good things. Eat out of things that are good. Okay, what are good things? Good things, if Sharia says this is good, it is good. But if only people's cultural practices say something is good but it's bad, it's not good. Example, nice food, so sweet, but it is sourced from haram sources. It's good in taste but bad spiritually. If you want something to be good, it has to be from legitimate, lawful sources. Even if it is bitter, that is good. But if it is nice, delectable, sweet in your own tongue, but it is out of stealing, out of the property, she committed prostitution to get it. So it's not what? It's not good. So يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات وعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون what عليم. O ye messengers, eat out of good things, and act righteously, because I am aware of whatever you do. وإن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاتقون. This is ayah number 52. وإن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة. But in chapter 21 verse number 92 it says إن هذه here but إن هذه same message there in سورة الأنبياء إن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاعبدون here فاتقون. Here in chapter 12 it is فاتقون same thing. It emphasizes one message that this Muslim community is your one community, impregnable, indissoluble, one community interwoven like a sausage, inseparable. وإن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة. And this nation, because Ummah means nation, it's your nation, and I am the Lord, so fear me. Muslims are one. They should be one. They should be seen as one. Because their Lord is one. Their book of authority, the Quran, is one. Their Qibla is one. Their Prophet is one. Their basic principle, Al-Aqidah, Al-Tawhid, is one. Alright? We have oneness in fasting. Now, globally, Muslims are fasting. That is the message about unity. Yeah. We go for Hajj, we stand in Mount Arafat, same one day. Every night of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, we observe pilgrimage. That is unity. Oneness. The Imam leads us in prayer until he does something before I can do. That is the message of unity. He says, Allahu Akbar. I say, Allahu Akbar. It tells about unity. Similarly, we pray five times a day. It's a message of unity. As if that is not enough, another congregation of larger people number is compulsory once a week. I'm referring to Jumu'ah congregation prayer. Jumu'ah, the people are more than five times prayer, correct? Because the fewer, the more, the larger the congregation. And again, another one is made obligatory. That is, every year we observe two dirhams. You know dirham? E. Your minor dirham and major dirham. The minor one is what we're going to do. Just 3 days to come. It will keep up. Inshallah ta'ala. But the major dirham or the major Eid is the one we do on every 10th day of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. There is also message. Then the standing in the month of Arafah is a congregation of congregation, assembly of assemblies. So all this tell you about the unity, impregnability of the Muslim Ummah. But why are the Muslims divided? Why? Especially those claiming to be Sunni. Because of ulterior motive. I want to gather followers. Because of worldly things. We keep on just boxing one another. Because of desire, because of power, because of leadership. And that is the big disease. Alright? And they are going against Allah's teaching. Allah says, وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهُ رَسُولُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْعَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَزُرُوا أَوْسَلُوا. But because of power, I want to be exploited. That is a fitna. So وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَ رَبُّكُمْ what? وَأَنَ رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. And I am a Lord, so fear me.
فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ.
فَذَرْهُمْ
فِي غَمْرَتِهِمْ حَتَّى حِينَ.
فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا. But they tore, they fragmented themselves into schisms and sects. After all this, but these Muslims with desire to achieve something, they taqatta'u, they fragmented, they parted themselves, zubaran into many sects. This belongs to this, belongs to that. When Allah is saying, wa inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida, wa ana rabbukum, what? Fattaqoon, in suratul mu'minun, wa ana rabbukum fa'abudun, in suratul anbiya. إن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاعبدون. الأنبياء 92. هي وإن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاتقون. إن شفت مؤمن آية نمبر what 52. فتقطعوا أمرهم بينهم كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون. Each party is happy with what they have. I have my own group. my jama'a, my kungiya, my whatever, and I am okay. I don't want to hear even talking about unity. I don't. Because I'd rather benefit from being divided. Allah will ask you for fragmenting the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of desire, vainglorious desire. Clear Quranic teaching. Go against it. Because of desire, because of narrow-mindedness. So Allah Ta'ala says what? كُلُّ حِذْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Oh, they are contented. They are happy with their fragmentation, which is against clear Quranic injunction. May Allah save us from hawa. Next ayah. فَذَرُمْ فِي غَمْرَتِهِمْ حَتَّى حِينَ. Allah said, leave them in their ghamra. فَذَرُمْ فِي غَمْرَتِهِمْ. Leave them in their bewilderment, in their schism, حَتَّى حِينَ, until a time. And if you die fragmented, you are leaving a negative legacy against the ummah. Allah will ask you. Next ayah.
أيحسبون أن ما نمدهم به من مال وبنين
نسارع
لهم في الخيرات بل لا يشعرون
أيحسبون أن ما نمدهم به من مال وبنين نسارع لهم في الخيرات بل لا يشعرون. Okay, do they assume, that is, أيحسبون, do they think أنما نمدهم به من مال وبنين, that in maximally making them having life affluence, or simply put it, do they think in furnishing them with wealth and children we raise them to give them good things? Do they think that being divided they enjoy it? Do you think that that is good for them? أَيَحْصَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنَ الْبَنِينَ. What we give them in terms of wealth and children, we are quickly giving them something good. Is that the thinking? بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. No, they have no idea. If you do something against Allah's teaching and you feel Allah is giving everything at the fingertips, cry for yourself. That can be istidraj. To be given affluence or followers doesn't mean you are somebody, you are better. Being better is maintaining the teaching, even if it is against your own desire and your own what you want. Maintain the teaching, the patience. May Allah give us that patience.
Amen.
Inna al-ladina hum min khashyati rabbihim mushfiqoon. والذين هم بآيات ربهم يؤمنون
نعم
والذين هم بربهم لا يشركون
والذين
يؤتون ما آتوا وقلوبهم وجلة أنهم إلى ربهم راجعون.
الله the Almighty says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Those who, because of the fear, the awe of their Lord, they are مُشْفِقُون, fearful. Allah gives you some condition. Those who fear Allah, because of that fear, I mean things, they tremble. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And those who believe in the Lord, the verses of their Lord. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ. Those who do not associate a partner with Allah. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. And those who give what they give, their heart is in fear, trembling and quaking. They know that they are going to be taken back to their Lord. All these, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ إِسْتَانَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. These, يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. They race, they compete to doing good things. It is they are the ones who actually are doing musabaqa. Musabaqa competition is only in trying to win Allah's pleasure. Musabaqa in building mansions, owning flashy cars, having fantastic account in banks means nothing in the life of Allah. This is the actual musabaqa. Ulaika isaf al-khairat wa hum laha sabiqun. These are the ones who are racing towards goodness, and they are the ones who want to reach, who first reaches it. ولا نكلف نفسا
ولا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها ولدينا كتاب ينطق بالحق وهم لا يظلمون.
ولا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها. We will not overburden a soul except according to its capacity. Just like Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. No soul shall be overburdened with responsibility beyond its capacity to hold. ولا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها ولدينا كتاب ينطق بالحق. And with us there is a record that tells the truth. Allah's record is there. You do X, you did things so time recorded. إلا رحمة من ربك. So Allah says, ولدينا كتاب ينطق بالحق. With us there is a record that speaks the truth. وهم لا يظلمون. They will never be wronged. نعم.
بل قلوبهم في غمرة من هذا ولهم أعمال من دون ذلك هم لها عاملون.
الله تبارك وتعالى says, بل قلوبهم في غمرة. But these كافرون, their minds, their hearts, في غمرة is in dazzlement. غمرة is a kind of hallucination. من هذا from realizing the truth. ولهم أعمال من دون ذلك. And they have deeds that do not conform to this. I mean, they disbelieve, another set of people. And they have other deeds that do not conform to what Allah the Almighty wants. هم لها عاملون. They do it. They continue in perpetrating a kufr from kufr. ولهم أعمال من دون ذلك. A kafir disbelieving Allah, and again he goes and drink alcohol, dancing, committing zina, and like so he combines kufr and disobeying Allah. But a believer, well, it's a believer, though he commits some things that are very bad. May Allah preserve our iman.
حتى إذا أخذنا مترفيهم بالعذاب إذا هم يجأرون.
نعم.
لا تجأروا اليوم إنكم منا لا تنصرون.
Allah says, حتى إذا أخذنا مترفيهم بالعذاب. They keep on disobeying Allah, disobeying until we seize the corrupt amongst them. They are well established in terms of wealth, mutrafihim. We seize those that are affluent amongst them, but they are decadent. Bil adhabi, with the punishment, idha hum yaj'arun, and they begin to groan, crying, because of the pain that goes with our punishment. Allah says, La taj'ar them. Don't cry today. Don't cry. You shall have regretted in the world. You shall have taken things properly to rectify your ways. You didn't do that. إِنَّكُمْ مِنَّا لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. You will receive no help from us today. Naam.
قد كانت آياتي تتلى عليكم فكنتم على أعقابكم تنكصون.
قد كانت آياتي تتلى عليكم. Our verses were rehearsed, were read to you. But فكنتم على أعقابكم تنكصون. But you turn back on your heels. Meaning, in al-akhirah, Allah will be telling the kuffar, "Qad kanat aytu alaykum," my verses, my ayat, we are ready to you. You had Muslims in the Quran. You fought them. You denied them. You even did things against them. Now you are in my presence. فَكُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ تَنْكِسُونَ. You used to turn away, turn your back. Now what will you say? مُسْتَكْبِرِينَ
مُسْتَكْبِرِينَ بِهِ سَامِرًا تَهْجُرُونَ.
مُسْتَكْبِرِينَ بِهِ, you used to be arrogant towards my ayat. سَامِرًا, you talk nonsense about it. Is it the Quran? Is it the Prophet that is سَامِرًا؟ تَهْجُرُونَ, you even disregard it, you repel it. So for this, you are going to receive your result according to what you did. Now, we are going to stop here. Okay? Inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is ayah 67 in chapter what? 23. If Allah speaks our life next year, by the grace of Allah, and if I happen to do my tafsir next year in Nigeria, then you should remind us that we stopped last year. You said, okay? And ayah 61, help us maintain it. We're going to make progress by ayah 60. 60, please, keep it in your brain. Promise? Okay. Inshallah ta'ala, ayah 67. Surah 23, we stopped after Isha prayer on the 26th of Ramadan. And this is today?
Yes.
1443 Hijrah. In bracket 27 of the month of April 2022. Here at KTH Human Kano Teaching Hospital in Kano City. Inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That marks the end of our translation this year. You can see Suratul Mulk, we didn't finish it. So we are going to complete the remaining times with Q&A. Open question and answer. Before our times, how many minutes remaining? 10 minutes. Okay, so we're going to kill the 10 minutes through Q&A. You can hear us from America, can you hear us? All right, Dr. Muslim, now we become... Okay, so it's time for Q&A. Here, and they're abroad. I will take any question that comes first, here or there. Yes. Okay, there is a, that's good. If a lady asks a question, that can she give a zakat to her husband? Is that a question? No, you are saying, can she give out a zakat to her husband? Her husband is not part of her family, unless the family in matrimonial case. If the question is whether it is legal to give zakat to her husband, I say no. Oh, to her husband? Yes, she can give his husband. A woman, a lady can give zakat to her, not vice versa. Correct? Your wife can give you zakat. Can she? But you cannot give her zakat. I hope it is clear. Okay. All right. If giving zakat to her mother, your mother, you can't give zakat because she has specified right on your property. Your mother deserves being helped, catered for, sheltered, fed, clothed. So she's already provided for by Allah the Almighty. Don't give your mother zakat because she has everything in your property. But your sibling there is not encouraged. But if you do it, it is okay with your siblings, okay? Because they are saying you were given zakat and you are also making your relation to be working positively. But concerning parents, you don't give them zakat because they have properties embedded in what you have. Wallahu a'lam. JazakAllah khair. If I see somebody in need and I'm trying to calculate my zakat to give to somebody and somebody is there needy, can I take it and give it to him? Now we have to be realistic. The people you want to give them zakat are already known in your locality because you have been given zakat out. Unless if somebody just from blues, from nowhere, comes to you, you say, oh, this guy is needy, so let me give him. Then you try to change your intention. Take this is your zakat. Now by the time we finish calculating, you know already there is a deficit. It has been given to somebody. That is covered. You have no problem there. I hope it is clear. Because Allah has been niyat. Wa iyyak. Some people far away are asking. You don't ask your question. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You see, the ulama, JazakAllah khair. Yeah, this is, it has a special name in Arabic. Okay? It is called Iqtibas. Iqtibas is as you are talking, and an ayah, okay, reflects the content of your speech. Like you have a friend. His name is Abu Bakr. Ya Abu Bakr. You are referring to the Quranic ayah where Allah says, Ya, udhika biquwa. Okay? Now, if the name is the name of a different person, you say, take it with strength. It's okay. But you cannot say, Ya, udhika biquwa. Because that Yahya of origin is not your photocopy here today. So you have to be very careful. The ulama are saying you cannot do that if the Yahya you are talking is not Prophet Yahya. But you can be talking and you say, oh, wallahi ra'aytu rajulan balagha min al-kibri itiyya. I have seen a man who has reached the peak of his age, itiyya. Itiyya is used in Surah Maryam. Okay, this one, you can do it. As we are talking, is Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. It's Quranic dua. But concerning the example you gave, you can say, Ya Aba Bakr, khudh al-kitaba biquwa. But if it is Yahya, there it addresses a specific prophet, Yahya. And the Yahya with you is not that prophet. So you have to be careful in honoring the Quranic style. I hope that is clear. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa bi fit tawfiq. Next question. ولا برأسي. إني خشيت أن تقول أن تقول أن تقول أن تقول أن تقول بني إسرائيل ولم ترقب قولهم. Okay, my brother Musa, you see, concerning Prophet Musa, he was not harsh. If at all he was, he looks at the enormity of the mistake committed. Somebody stealing $1 million is not like somebody stealing $100. You are expected to be harsher concerning the former, not the latter. This is simple reason. When Prophet Musa went to Mount Sinai to receive revelation, he led to Prophet, his elder brother himself, Aaron, okay, with the people. But unfortunately, one Midian, somebody practicing baptism as primary, okay, changed calf. He used, through some black magic, he produced calf, and they worshiped the calf. So Musa saw, oh, worshiping a shirk. Shirk, if you die, you go to Jahannam. So he was disturbed by the enormity, okay, of the sin. The reason I gave you, you yourself, you can be harsh, so to say, depending on the enormity of what has been committed. I told you example, somebody stealing $1 million, I mean, he attracts more punishment than somebody taking just 5 cents. Do you say, why are you harsh? $1 million, I say, $1 million, can't you understand? So when Prophet Musa and his letters was worried and disturbed because of the bigness, so to speak, of what was done, okay? Qala, so Prophet Musa, when he returned,
قَالَ يَا هَارُونُ مَا مَنَعَكَ إِذْ رَأَيْتَهُمْ ضَلُّوا أَلَّا تَتَّبِعَنَا أَفَعْصَيْتَ أَمْرِي.
Oh Aaron, why did you allow them to slip away, worshiping calf behind Allah? We were taken from slavery in Egypt. Why can't we thank Allah? You want to go back to trouble? So he was worried. Just as you can be worried if something bad is done in an ugly manner. If you react, you are not to be condemned for being harsh. If you are harsh at all, you are because of the enormity, because of the ugly nature of what has been committed. Unlike somebody doing something, correct? So, but all in all, you don't have to be harsh. Harshness is informed by reality. Yeah. And at times, if you are not harsh, when a sin has been committed that makes Allah harsh against you, then what are you doing? So it depends on what somebody does. Otherwise, under normal circumstances, man shouldn't be harsh. He should be soft, lenient, understanding, accommodating. All right? Try to be accessible. You smile, forgiving, overlooking. That is natural. But because of what was done, and you were afraid of Allah's total condemnation and destruction, you see, Aaron, what is it? So he took hold of his own beard.
قال يا ابن أم لا تأخذ بلحيتي ولا برأسي إني خشيت أن تقول فرقت بين بني إسرائيل ولم ترقب قولي.
قال فما خطبك يا سامري. He said, oh, your prophet Musa, don't take hold of my beard. You have to be shaking me like this. I was afraid you would have said, if I come to them, I have divided Israelite. And that guy, family, caused it. So man should not be harsh, naturally, but you should, depending on circumstances. So I call this situational harshness or circumstantial harshness. Otherwise, you should be lenient, merciful, compassionate. But if Allah is touched, you smile, don't smile. Show that you are unhappy. Finally, in Islam, if people are going, passing through the houses of people that were destroyed because of the sin, if you reach their houses, quickly pass it. Otherwise, Allah's anger comes to you there. They are dead already. But because they are corrupt, once upon a time. So the anger keeps on lingering there. So you don't have to see. You hardly pass through the area. To tell you, harshness can be depending on what happened. Otherwise, naturally, one should be lenient. I hope that answers the question. Barakallah fi Dr. Musa. Wa alaykum as-salam. Yeah. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair, brother Abdul Salam. Barakallah fi. No, it's broken. Now I can hear you. Yeah, with some little effort I can hear you, with some effort. But can you hear me in your account? Can you hear me? Clearly, audibly? All right, what I gathered from what you are saying, do you live, you live there? Okay. No, if that is how it is done, then it's wrong, really. Really, when you live in a foreign land, for you to live in peace and stability, try to keep the order of the day and time. Unless if it clashes with your Islamic teachings. Now you are saying, people there where you live in America, after an imam has given khutbah, he is descending from the pulpit, and you invite a police officer from the county, a non-Muslim, to come to the masjid and speak to you. You see, after khutbah, nothing should come in between. If at all you have to interact with them, it's not bad, because you have to live in peace, you need their support because you are a minority. But it should not be done in a way that will be against Islamic teaching. What is the point of, after the imam finished khutbah, start the prayer. Somebody came into the masjid, a kafir, giving me talk. What are we going to tell you? Organize a time, give, say, okay, please, officer, whatever, then please, with respect. We want you to come to speak to our community. But not inside our masjid, the imam said, what? I mean, you are just playing to the gallery. What are you doing? Maintain your reason. And they didn't ask you, is a mosque. You are the one creating the trouble for the deen. Tell him, please, come in our community hall. We want to hear from you. There is a get-together interaction separately. But during your ibadah, between you and Allah, nobody should come in between. Otherwise, you are becoming apologetic Muslims. You want to please people for no justification. They didn't even ask you to do. You are the one creating this kind of thing just because you want to please. I mean, the pleasing is going to be unpleasing to Allah the Almighty. Oh, Allah forgive us. Wallahu a'lam. بارك الله فيكم. Yes. Who has the question here? وعليكم السلام. Yeah. You are living with a neighbor. Okay, the brother is asking that you live in a community where you have, for example, Christian neighbors who celebrate their New Year or Christmas, for example, and they give you something to eat or drink like food. Are you going to reject it or to give it to somebody? What are you going to say? I think we've been talking about this severally. If you live in a community, especially where you're in a minority, learn to live in peace and respect one another. But that doesn't mean just because I want peace, I should just melt the way sugar melts in the hot cup of tea. I have to maintain my civilizational value. I tell him, please, Mr. Jacob, Mr. Eric, Mr. whatever, I don't take this because it is connected to your religious practices. Lakum dinukum waliya din. Is it bad here? I'm only trying to reason with him. Why can't you take it? Is it false in taking a gift? Okay? Okay. Yeah, there are some. Okay, now he is saying, no, the man giving you that food is a Muslim, quote and unquote. There are Muslims, there are pseudo Muslims, there are nominal Muslims, there are other countries. How someone said, akwai Muslimi, akwai Muna Muslimi, akwai Muslim. Which one are you? So if that guy claimed to be a Muslim, that he is a liberal Muslim, liberal. He's enlightened Muslim. He can go to anywhere. I am a Muslim. I don't even pray. There are some like this. Somebody was interviewed. They said, sir, I'm just giving it. Sir, what is your name? So my name is ABCD. Religion. Well, I am a Muslim by the accident of birth. Yeah, that's the answer. A Muslim by the accident of birth. Is that a Muslim? A good Muslim? I hope you learn from nominal Muslim. So now he is saying the person giving you the food is a Muslim. He is of this behavior. Now he gives you two, you don't take it. You took it. Assume a Muslim, later you came to know, what do you do? To me, I will take it back to you and say, Mr. my brother, Abu Bakr, you had doubt, take this food, I don't take it. Why? Why are you so harsh? You will say, no, because you are harsh in obeying Satan, that's all. There are two harshnesses. You are also harsh, you want to follow Satan, that's why you are harsh there. And I am harsh according to you because I want to obey Allah. So which harshness do you prefer? So you tell him, I will not take it, sir, with respect, with honor, take it back. And I am telling you, be careful, maintain your deen. That is how you should handle it, and may Allah guide us all right. Yes. Wa alaykum salam. Purification, yeah. What comes? Practice. I didn't get the slashy. What did you say? Okay, you break the wind. Breaking the wind, somebody has performed ablution and he breaks the wind. Okay, he releases air, carbon monoxide. Okay. Now, is he going to retake his purification? Of course, if I get you well. somebody has performed ablution and he releases prayer, he breaks wind, automatically the ablution becomes polluted, vitiated, and spoiled. Is that the question? Purification? He purified the place? How? Breaking the wind has no any trace. It's not like human excrement. If there's a urine, wash it. But concerning Tufa, what is the trace? You just take ablution without washing the plate. Otherwise somebody is going to extremism. Yeah. Any question here or there? Our brothers are listening up there. Okay. Walaikum salam. Yeah, the issue, the scholars have a divided view on the issue. That is why if you come across an issue without unanimity in terms of fatwa, there is bound to have what you can call confusion, okay. But no confusion, if you go to a fatwa that has stronger view, you are okay. Some scholars are saying if a girl for sale by women is of commercial quantity, or she maintains it, she has it out, she takes it herself. So it's a kind of a profit-fetching alternative. Then in that case, that gold is zakatable. That is view number one. But no matter the quantity of gold a woman has, just for her own beautification and glamour, so to speak, when the time comes, just for ornamentation, so to speak, that is not zakatable. Now you have these two views that seem to be, clashing. But the one we maintain, any gold that a woman possesses for the purpose of just for her own personal use, not for selling, not for commercial purposes, to our understanding, wallahu alam, it's not zakatable. But if she maintains it, it is there like an asset, waiting for a real, for a need to rise it. Like, let me keep these gold. When marrying of my daughter comes, I'm going to take it and sell it. Then it's acceptable because it becomes what? Money making, so to speak, profit fetching alternative. But it is there not for that. Number one. Number two, there are someone who just even hire it out. She can come and hire it, and she said it's for commercial purposes. So it depends on the nature of the ownership. I think I have been making this explanation time without number. So there shouldn't be any confusion. Inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Just get the views across. And if somebody takes one view, the ulama are saying, if anybody maintains a view that has some basis to be defended, don't condemn him. Condemnation comes for somebody to go on a baseless argument. But any view you hold that you can defend it in the light of Quran and Sunnah and the photo of ulama, then excuse can be taken out of that. And I hope it is very clear, my brother. Yes. Yes. So we're taking the last question and it's going to make the final stage of the tafsir for this year. Yes, last question here. The brother is asking this question, very nice question as well. Somebody lives in a community. In the community, for example, there is a mosque. But unfortunately, the recitation of the imam is not that good. The imam, for example, skips some ayat, or he changes the sign, or the letters are not well pronounced. Kala, he said, Kala. Kala alam akullaka. For example, الذي خلق يسي الذي خلق شذ غير المجروب ولا راليا. For example, this is dangerous recitation. If you have an imam like this, in the first instance, you shouldn't appoint him an imam. Imamship is not a joking matter. Try to find somebody competent Quranically and Sunnatically, somebody well equipped, not just kind of a hush-hush arrangement. Okay, so if the imam in the locality you live is of this nature, he can't even read well, his tajweed is very, very scary, and in a bit distant place, distant from your place, there is a nice masjid with good recitation. Can I leave that masjid in my community to go there? Of course, with pleasure. How can I just join a prayer where the reading is staggering? What you should do, try to maybe draw the attention of the imam. Akramukum Allah, please, 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 guys. I will not. I am the imam here. It's not your property, sir. It's a matter of leading people in the right way. If you cannot change it, like I leave the masjid where I can get good recitation. Allah says, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلَ. Read the Quran well as it is read. Ibn al-Jabari says, وَالْأَخْذُ بِالتَّجْوِيدِ حَتْمٌ لَازِمٌ مَنْ لَمْ يُجَوِّذِ الْقُرْآنَ حَاسِمٌ لِأَنَّهُ بِهِ الْإِلَهُ أَنْزَلَ وَهَكَذَا مِنْهُ إِلَيْنَا وَصَلَى. He says, maintaining rules of recitation is compulsory. No Muslim is spared. Wherever you happen to be, you must know tajweed. Otherwise, you are reading Quran, but you are reading something entirely different. All right? Where you should say Allah, you say Allah. Wrong. Where you should do idgham, don't do it. Let me give you an example. الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. Correct or incorrect? الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. Correct? Incorrect. I should say الذين هم عن. Why عن? Because of إخفاء. نون الساكنة سبق. This is a simple thing. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. It's a blunderous blunder. So there are things you should be very, very careful. And someone says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin al-Malik. How can I follow in the prayer? Is it joking matter? Is it jamboree? It's not. So if there is a masjid where the rules of recitation are observed, adhered to, I will go there. But to me, in order to cause confusion in the community, we need unity. Go to the imam through respected representatives. Tell him politely, respectfully, yeah, imam, please correct. Give them chance. If they fail, then you can take action that is deserving. Brothers and sisters, to every beginning there is an end. So this is the end of this year's tafsir. We thank Allah the Almighty for the time given. We thank you who attend. We thank our brothers in America who have been with us following the program and across the world. May Allah reward you individually, collectively, abundantly, incalculably, ceaselessly. May Allah make it a stepping stone to the paradise. May Allah accept our fasting. May Allah give a strong iman to face the challenges of the time of today. And may Allah preserve our iman. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal alamin. But I will not forget to praise our young boys who have been dealing with our computer, our reciter, Al-Qari, Muhammad Al-Amin, and all of them, Abu Bakr, and all the children who come. And I also give my respect to the Chief Medical Director of this hospital, Professor Sheshe, and all the staff for allowing us to be there on their message. We thank you all for your wonderful contribution. We meet next year. By the grace of Allah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.